Morning, everyone. Man, I don't know about you, but I was really feeling that time of praise, singing songs of worship to God and just being in tune with the Spirit. It's an awesome thing to feel His presence, to know that He is with us. But I want to say to you today that even if you're here and you don't quite maybe have that emotion or you don't necessarily feel His presence, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have a relationship with Him, His presence is a promise to us, a guarantee, that even if we don't feel it, the truth is that He is with us and that He is always for us. So as we are here together to worship God, we just worship Him through praise, and we're going to worship Him now through the preaching and the listening of the Word. And we're continuing on in our journey through the book of Acts that we find in the New Testament. And we've just seen something amazing unfold. We talked about God's gracious plan. We saw a Roman centurion named Cornelius and his entire household come to place their faith in Jesus Christ and to be baptized in His name. God worked everything together so that not only Cornelius, but his entire household would be forgiven through the blood of Christ, by grace through faith, now have salvation. Salvation that can only come through the message of the gospel of Jesus. So God is working, and we've seen His plan unfolding and how gracious a plan it is. But there's still a lot of work to be done now. You see, this is kind of a shift, although, again, God's heart has always been for the world, all nations, to know who He is. There's this kind of shift now happening where the Jewish people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, there needs to be a paradigm shift, a perspective change, so that how they view the salvation work of God, how they view His gracious plan unfolding, and how they will take part in it will be dramatically affected by what has happened with Cornelius and his household. Because Cornelius was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. Because of the nature of how they were saved by grace through faith, but seeing how the Holy Spirit came upon them, how God worked through a vision with Peter, how God worked through an angel with Cornelius. So all of these things coming together, there needs to be a change now in the perspective of the believers so that they can take part in the amazing work of God that is ahead for the world to know who He is. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 18 together. Now, for those of you who've been able to join us for worship in the last few weeks, you'll notice that this is kind of like a recounting, again, of all that has happened. But now He is giving this news or this testimony or this the eyewitness of what he's seen, Peter is now going to tell to other Jewish Christians who have heard the news, but now they get to hear from Peter exactly what happened. So Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, this is the word of God. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of God, the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that it is true, that we can trust in it because you have given it to us by your grace. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the living and active word that you have given to us. Would you be active in our hearts this morning? Through the power of your Holy Spirit, may you take these words of truth deeply into our hearts so that we would grow in our faith in you, so that those who are here that do not yet believe in Jesus, that they would place their faith in you for the first time, but that all of us would be strengthened and know more of who you are through the word that you have given, and that through that we would learn how to live our lives in a way that truly glorifies you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about this renewed perspective in Christ. How do we view the world? How do we view our place in the world? How do we view what our purpose is in the world? And I believe that as we see Peter telling once again, and I think this is significant that we've seen the repetition of this account, what's happened. We've seen multiple times that he has told us, again, this is what happened from Cornelius to Peter, and now Peter again to the Christians that he is speaking to, the Jewish Christians. And it's so important because all of it is trying to help open up eyes to this new perspective in Christ and how we view the world and how we take part in obedience to God in the world. And there's three things that I want to talk about in this renewed perspective in Christ that we must have. And the first thing is to acknowledge God's work. Acknowledge God's work. Secondly, to celebrate God's work. To celebrate God's work. And lastly, to recount God's work. So we're going to start with that first point, to acknowledge God's work. It seems very simple, right? But let's take a look at verse 1. It says, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So the news of Cornelius and his household placing their faith in Jesus Christ and being saved, it's being shared within the Christian community. They've heard about it. And when we see this word received here, it's not just simply that they heard the word of God that Peter was preaching to them when he went to their household. It actually means that they received it. They believed in it. It was now a part of what they were saved by. They were believed in the word, and they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius and his household. This is truly God's work. So his gracious plan is unfolding, but the Jewish Christians right now, as they see this is a big deal. It's changing their thinking about what it means to be saved, about what it means to be a part of God's people. And as we'll see in the next point, all this feels too new or too different or too off for many Jewish Christians to hear that Gentiles are being saved. And even in the same way that the disciples were saved at Pentecost with the speaking of tongues and extolling the Lord. So it's shocking to many of them. But remember the reality that though they may be surprised because they have now been living in their Jewishness or their culture and now kind of learning, well, what does it mean to be a Jewish person but also to be a follower of Jesus Christ? They need only to look back at their own scripture to see that it shouldn't be shocking at all that Gentiles are being saved by God's grace. All the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God chooses Abram and he promises him that his family will be a blessing to all nations, not just that your nation will be blessed, not that just that you will be a blessing nation, but that all nations will be blessed through your nation, Israel. So it was always meant to be that way. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18 also says that out of Abraham's seed that all nations will be blessed. See, so God's promise all the way back in Genesis, it's unfolding now in the New Testament as the early church is starting to grow, but there are Jewish Christians, Jewish followers of Jesus Christ, and remember, it's first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. The Jewish people were the chosen people of God in the Old Testament because they were given the scripture, they were given the commandments, the laws, and prophets. But there's something greater at work that's happening right now. And they need to acknowledge that this is God's work. I think that's something that's being driven home here in the last few passages. Cornelius could not have thought to get Peter on his own. Why would a Roman centurion send for the Apostle Peter? Peter on his own as a Jewish Christian, and we're going to see that this is a very ingrained part of him, that his thinking on, well, to be a Christian, it's so attached to his Jewishness that it's still hard for him. Remember, he was perplexed when he saw the vision. He was like, wait, how can this be? And even in his own vision, as he's seeing it, he's like, no, I won't do that because nothing that is uncommon or unclean has entered my mouth. But God was speaking to him about the association with Gentiles, that it's no longer what it once was. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But God's heart was always in this way. God's work was always for all of the nations. So the very nature of how everything has happened, them meeting together in the household of Simon the Tanner, or at Cornelius' home, God brought it all together. So acknowledging God's work is the first thing, that indeed he is working, and we accredit it to him. Second thing is this, when we acknowledge God's work, the next thing that we should be moved to do is to celebrate God's work. This is what it says in verse 2 to 3. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Okay, so how does that have to do with celebrating God's work? Well, we see what not to do here as we see some of the response from some of the Jewish Christians. You see, when we see God working, we should be joyful. It should be a cause to celebrate. How amazing it is that even one person who is a sinner, one person who is worthy only of the wrath of God, undeserving, and yet by God's grace, they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This should lead people to just praise him. Say how wonderful a God that we serve. But here we see a group of people who are not very happy at all with Peter. They've heard that the Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. They've heard that the Gentiles, that Cornelius and his household are saved now by the God that they worship, that they say that they follow and obey. But they're not happy about it. You see, their hearts are not set on the right thing. Their perspective is still trapped in the old ways. They're upset. And this is what's happening from the circumcision party, as it says in verse 2. Now, some believe that this circumcision party at this point is speaking to all Jewish Christians, since those who became followers of Jesus from Israel were Jewish and they were already circumcised. However, I believe this is likely speaking to a particular group of those who profess to be Christians, Jewish Christians, who believe that in order to be fully saved, and this is going to come up later in Acts chapter 15, that in order to be fully saved, people, yes, they needed to place their faith in Jesus Christ, but they also had to adopt and kind of really convert fully to Judaism before being fully true Christians that are saved by Jesus. So they were putting extra parameters on top of what God was saying. No, it is by grace through faith. It's not by your Jewishness or your obedience to different ceremonial laws and rituals of your culture. That's the old perspective that you have. And so let me put a new perspective in your heart and in your mind. You see, they had it set in their minds that salvation in Christ, it was through Christ, but ultimately still through the Jewish culture. But God was saying, no, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, people outside of the people of Israel, could place their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And in fact, as we looked at those verses in Genesis, even in the Old Testament, there's people who come to know the one true God and place their faith in him that are outside of the nation of Israel. We also have to know that in the Old Testament, even though Israel is called God's chosen people, do you believe that every single person who was an Israelite was saved? By no means. I think when I was little, I used to think that way. I said, well, if they're God's chosen people, doesn't that mean every single Jewish person, every single Israelite is actually saved? Because God chose them. Well, that's not how it works. Even within the chosen people of God, that they are the nation that God has chosen to be a blessing to the nations, it is always the same way, that it's only by God's grace through faith in who he is, the one true God, that people were saved. That's why prophets like Jeremiah say there's a circumcision of the heart that's necessary. Not just outward circumcision, but something happening internally in your heart, that is what is the proof that you are saved or that you have a real relationship with God. And so, yes, Gentiles are being saved. And here, to the gospel message of Jesus. So just imagine that, right? They're more preoccupied still in their perspective with their own culture in such a way that even Peter said it himself when he went to Cornelius' house. Remember, he said, you also know that it's not good or right for a Jewish person to come and fellowship with Gentiles. That's kind of what had been built into the Israelite, the Jewish culture. But we see something happening here. It's that same perspective that these circumcision party members or group is kind of harping on. Instead of saying, oh my goodness, let's celebrate that there are people coming to know the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the God that we worship, the God that gave us the scriptures that pointed forward to Jesus Christ the Messiah. Instead of celebrating, they're like, hey, we're really disappointed in you. You went and ate with those uncircumcised people, didn't you? You went and had fellowship with those who are not part of our nation, the chosen people. You see, they cared more that Peter went to eat with the Gentiles, going against their cultural rules and customs, than they were about seeing people saved through the amazing grace of our God through Jesus Christ. Let's not be those people. Amen? Let's be ones who celebrate God's work. And it got me thinking, you know, I had the opportunity to preach at a student-led ministry called Caris Campus Fellowship at the University of Maryland in College Park, last week. And it was a really great time. And it's always such a joy to be on a campus, and it's a student-run ministry, and see how God is at work. You know, I get to see it here at CCC, and I also get to hear it from my friends who are also pastors. But around the world, God is at work, and we have to learn how to celebrate that together. And in particular, on college campus, you know, they're in the midst of midterms, but it was such a joy to see young men and women, college students, devoting their time to meeting together, to taking a few hours out of their kind of hectic schedules to praise God through song, to hear a message being preached about God, and for them to have a hunger to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And I celebrated that. I was so thankful to God for how he was working, for me to be a part of it. What an awesome thing that was. And then I started thinking also about our church. I mean, just it's such a joy to know that people are growing in the Lord. You know, I've been here almost 4 years now at CCC, and in that time, I've seen so many people growing in their faith and love for Jesus, being challenged to do more for the Lord, not as a burden, but as a privilege to serve him. Celebrate these things. Celebrate the movement of God. Are we a perfect church? Is there such thing as a perfect church? You know, I heard someone say one time, look, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't go there, because once you go there, it's not perfect anymore. There's no such thing as a perfect church. But we should learn to celebrate what God's doing in our midst. What God is doing through the Christian community. But here's the sad truth, is that oftentimes in the Christian community, rather than celebrating the work of God in different churches and authority of Scripture, but there is judgment on other things that I've heard from those who are professing to be Christians, that it just tears the other churches, one another down, instead of building them up. Style of praise. Oh, I only like to sing hymns. Or, oh, I don't like Christian contemporary music. Or I didn't like that there's a guitar on stage. I just like the, you know, the organ. I just want the piano. I don't want a keyboard. Should there be drums? You know, the preacher's sermon. Oh, that the preacher, he's monotone the whole time. He's boring. He goes too long. Oh, it's too short. Oh, the people weren't even wearing, they weren't all wearing suits. How can they honor God if they're not wearing suits? My goodness. So many things that we can look at one another in differences, and even the culture of a church. But those are not the things we need to be looking at and be divisive on. Celebrate the work of God that's going on. Pray for the churches in the world, all across the world. And celebrate God's work. And this is something also that I want to just make a comment here, that internally within a church, it can be an issue too, okay? Celebrating God's work within the church. I know that sounds kind of like, well, how does that work? Well, at times, even within a church congregation, when God is working through the ministries that are provided or the fellowship or whatever it might be, there are still some naysayers within the church, where instead of building up and being celebratory and joyful that God is working, instead they'll make a judgment or say, oh, I'd rather have it this way or that way, or that's not the way that I think that it should be. And this can't be in the church. Complaining, judging, dividing, tearing down. No, we build up one another in Christ. We celebrate God's work being done. And so let's keep our perspective, our focus on the right thing. Let's not be the ones to first bring negative criticism or complaint, but a new perspective. Being able to weed through those things and ultimately see that God is at work. And when we see it, let's celebrate it. Let's see the last point, to recount God's work. And so recounting God's work has kind of been a theme, because they're recounting what's happened. And what's happened is God's work. And so it's quite beautiful and wonderful when we look back and see how God has brought this all together so that Cornelius and his household can be saved. And maybe as we see that, as we think about that, even in our own lives, how wonderful it is to see how God has worked in our own lives to help us to know who he is, but also that these things happen so that we'd have trust in him as our God. That his work is not merely for, okay, now you're saved, so no, we forget about everything. No, we recount God's work in our lives, and we see his faithfulness, we see his promises, and that strengthens us to continue to move forward, to seek after him, to trust in him amidst all different types of circumstances. So we see here, specifically, we see Peter recounts God's his amazing plan, his gracious plan of work in the life of Cornelius and his household. And so he goes into detail. I'm not going to read it all through because we've covered it over in the last few sermons. But he shares the testimony of Cornelius, what he says, how God was working in his life through an angel that told him to send for Peter, and then his servants bringing Peter to his household, and all this amazing things happening. And also his own testimony of the vision that God gave to him, that was teaching him about his perspective on who deserves or who is worthy or who ought to hear God's word. Who it ought to be available to. That salvation is not just for the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. So it was not coincidence, it was not chance that brought Cornelius' men to Peter. It was not simply fate that Peter went with those men to Cornelius' home. It was not a random series of events that led Peter to be in the same household as Cornelius to share the word of God with them, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, this was all a part of God's work. He was bringing this all together. Even as he shares in today's passage, he said that there was a message that this Peter had to tell me. And it was going to be something amazing that would teach me more about God. And we know that that was the salvation that comes through Christ alone. So all of this is being recounted. All of God's work that has happened is being recounted. And all of it is pointing to God and his grace, God and his character, God and his love. And this is the perspective that I want for all of us to live with as individuals, but also as church, a church here at CCC, that we have a perspective that is set upon who God is and that we would learn to recount God's work in our lives, in our church. And we're talking about 87 or 88 years, I think, that CCC has been around. And God, when we look back on eight decades, eight plus, of God's faithfulness and God's work, I hope that we'll be so humbled and thankful that he has been working through our church. And as we recount that, we look forward and we say we can trust that he's going to continue to work through our church. Amen? And so we need to have that renewed perspective. We need to have this in mind and in heart. And maybe perhaps even as we're talking about culture, sometimes the culture of a church is so strong, but in a way that puts people out. They don't feel like that they can join in. That's what the circumcision party was trying to do. But what I love about our church is as we move forward, we're exploring those things. How can we be a more welcoming church, inviting people into our church to know the love of God and to see his work in our midst? And so let's recount God's work. And let's also trust in him for the future. What an awesome perspective that humbles us, but also gives us hope. We continue to trust in him as we push forward, acknowledging and recounting all that he's done in his faithfulness. And so what is it that he will do in us and through us as believers of Jesus? Let's look at verse 16 to 17. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? And so this is reflecting on what Jesus himself said back in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there was this promise of the Holy Spirit that we would receive, the promise of the Helper. And so this is such an awesome thing that we must remember, and this is a theme that's throughout the book of Acts, is please remember that we have God with us. Please remember that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, God himself, with us. And I feel like I've said this in the last few weeks, but I hope that you really understand that and believe it. God is not only with you, he is in you through the Holy Spirit. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've been saved by grace through faith, he has promised and given to you the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful gift for all the new believers and all the believers forevermore that he is with us and that he is for us. I think this perspective also helps to extend God's love to everyone. Seeing how he works, seeing that this message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, indeed it is for all people. Right? Even when the Spirit said, go with Cornelius' men, it said, go with no distinction. All people, no matter what your background, what you're experiencing in life, your ethnicity, your culture, what you identify with, all these different things, all you've experienced, all you've done in your life, none of that in itself merits salvation, but salvation is available truly to all. It's something that cannot be earned. It's something that cannot be gained on our own. It is by grace through faith. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. So when I was saying, when we recount God's work and we see how we move forward, it's based around this reality that we ought to be glorifying God. As we recount God's work in our lives, in our church, we must be glorifying God. And He is always the center of attention. It's not this particular pastor in our history, or that particular pastor in our history, or this board chair, or this leader. No, it's Jesus. It's God's work. That's who we lift up. That's who we celebrate. That's who we worship and glorify. And it's about the main thing, then to the Gentiles, also God has granted repentance that leads to life. So the reality, again, that as we share in the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God being preached, repentance that leads to life. Accepting Jesus is not just saying, okay, well, I accept your grace, and now I kind of continue to live however I want to live. Repentance means turning away, turning around from the way that you've been living, and living for a new way, the way, through Christ Jesus. So that's what we are about in our lives. That's what our church is about. That we glorify God, we recount God's work, and we move forward, and we bring many people through His message, through His love, to repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I think this is, you know, to all who were listening, this was their response, and it was glorifying God. And I think this is something that I don't want to gloss over. I'm going to just hit on it very quickly. Some of the old perspectives that they had that needed to be renewed as Jewish Christians, especially in the circumcision party. So many were set in their old thinking and culture that true salvation comes to the people of God, Israel, first. And so you had to become fully a part of the Jewish people in order to be saved by Christ through faith. So they were adding things in. They were still saying, well, you have to be fully Jewish first, and then you can accept Christ and be a true Christian. There were also many Jewish Christians who were set in their old thinking and culture that Jews simply do not associate with Gentiles. Not only do you not associate with them, you certainly do not break bread with them or have fellowship with them. Well, Peter here, in his recounting of all that's happened, is Xing all those things out and pointing to how Jesus has changed the landscape. He's doing away with that old perspective that they're stuck in and renewing their perspective by His grace through faith and through His work that He's shown. He's opening their hearts, opening their minds to glorify God and have a new perspective in Him as they recount God's work. Now they see His goodness and love, this new perspective now moving forward. There's many people who are going to come to know Jesus Christ through the message of His gospel. So I mentioned church culture a little bit, that can't be the top thing. It has to be God's work working in us. But I also want to hit on one more thing I think that's true for many of us, that in a similar way, we need to shed off some of our old perspectives. When you become a Christian, again, by grace through faith, you're given a new life. You're a new creation. You have a new purpose. But I believe that still, too often, we hold on to and still view the world in our older perspective. And what are some of those older perspectives that we might hold to? Well, the first thing is simply this, is that we are the main character of our story. Our perspective is there's something about me that's more important, something about my circumstances that's more important, something about the way that I think and feel that's most important. And God does away with those things. And he's working to undo some of those perspectives so that you'd have a renewed purpose, renewed perspective in him. And I think one thing in terms of, you know, some of the cultural fixtures that we have, you know, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but generally speaking, in Asian culture, where the value of hard work and merit and success being so intertwined, it sometimes still gets elevated that even after we become Christians, we have this idea that, well, I still have to work hard for it. That it's something that I can gain by doing more good things, doing more holy things, doing more righteous things, then I can kind of gain or have a part, something that I earned as part of my salvation. But remember that no amount of hard work can earn salvation. No amount of success in this world can buy you salvation. So yes, we still work hard. We still do our best. We still excel and hopefully, yes, succeed. But the heart of the matter is not this thing that it's all about me, what I can do for what I gain. And we have a renewed perspective that is repentance that leads to life that says it's all about him and I want to live for him in all that I do. So I work hard because of what Christ has done in my life. I don't work hard because I'm trying to get God to love me more or for God to reward me more because I'm working hard and I'm doing more church things and I'm doing more good things. No, it is God's grace that should move in us to live in a way that glorifies him and honors him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. One of the best passages that just makes it so clear. It is by grace through faith that we've been saved so that no person can boast. It's the gift of God. We need to have this renewed perspective. Let's all continue to grow in the new perspective, this lens of God's work in our lives, in our church. Our lives are no longer about ourselves or the things that we used to think that were so important, the things that were our identity, our sense of value, our sense of worth. Not that there are not important things outside of our relationship with God, but that everything stems from a new perspective of who we are as his people. Yes, we too are Gentiles, right? I mean, unless we have some Israelites here or Jewish people here who have placed their faith in Jesus, all of us are Gentiles. And yet we are here worshiping the one true God. That's the amazing work of God, that we can have a relationship with Jesus. Let's celebrate God's work. Let's acknowledge his work in our lives and in our church. And let's recount his many blessings, the amazing work of God in our lives to bring us to know him as Lord and Savior, but also in our church, over 80 plus years of his faithfulness and however many more by God's grace. Let's trust in him. Let's move forward with a renewed perspective in Christ. Let's pray together. Let's just take one moment to pray. What an awesome thing, God's work. What is the perspective with which you have been looking at life? What is the perspective with which you have been living life? God is calling you right now to repentance that leads to eternal life. To stop living for the things that you've always known or the things that you've figured your purpose is for in this world, but seeing who God is as the story unfolds in Cornelius' life, I guarantee you when you recount your own life and the things that you've gone through, God has worked things together for you to know who he is, and now he wants you to do so much more for his kingdom, not by your own might, not by your own strength, not by your own power, but the Holy Spirit that is with you. So how will you live your life? Will you continue to look at things through an old lens of what life used to be all about? By no means. Ask God. Repent, turn to Him, place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have a renewed perspective so that all that you do in your life, all that you will face in your ups and downs of life, still you can see who God is, trust who He is, and know that He's at work. Just take 1 minute to pray and then I'll close this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for this day that we can come to worship You and praise You. Thank You for Your word. I pray that every person here will be touched in their hearts, that there will be repenting going on right now in our midst, people dedicating, devoting their lives to living it for You. Give us this new perspective in You, Jesus, in Christ, Jesus, so that we can live our lives in a way that honors You, glorifies You, and takes part in Your work. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we be a part of it being done here on this earth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.